Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello there, and welcome to this Wednesday edition of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. It's great to have you with us on this last day of January in 2007, first month of this great new year. And listen, we've been involved in a series, and I hope you've been with us every step of the way, called Seven Pictures of God's People. And so far, Derek has taught us about two of these pictures in our gallery, so to speak. The first was the assembly, that we are part of an assembly, a group of people, he said, called out for God's special purpose to govern the earth through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, that's a transforming image. And then the body of Christ, that we are a part of a people who are to accomplish the will of God on earth. These are images that are meant to change our lives because they come from Scripture. Now, today, Derek's going to be talking to us about workmanship and family. Again, these are pictures in our gallery of who we are. They are mirror images from the Scriptures of who we are made to be. They'll change us as we let these truths get into our souls. Now listen, a little later in our program, I'll be telling you about a special gift we have for you, but let's get right to it right now as Derek teaches us on seven pictures of God's people.
Today, we're going to look at the third picture. The third picture is found in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is a slightly different kind of picture. We are God's workmanship. I don't think the English translation fully brings out the real significance of that. The Greek word that's there translated workmanship is poiema. And from that Greek word, we get the English word poem. In other words, it's a word taken from the field of art and creativity. I like to translate it this way. Maybe I'm a little too free, but I like to say, we are God's creative masterpiece. That, to me, really carries the proper meaning of what Paul is saying. It's kind of breathtaking, isn't it? I don't think it ever would make us proud, but it would cause us to feel really humble that God chose people such as us to be the material for his creative masterpiece. When you think of all that God has created, that's amazing. Let's think of what's involved in a creative work of art. For a moment, we can take various examples. For instance, sculpture. What is the essence of sculpture? Well, first of all, there's this block of stone or marble or whatever it may be, and it's unfinished, it's unshapely, it has no real significance. It's just there. But the sculptor, with his inner vision, his creative vision, beneath the external, sees something that can be made out of it. And so he arms himself with his sharp chisel, and with his inner mental vision of what he wants to produce, he begins to chip away the material, some here, some there. And as he continues working, gradually we see the form emerging, which is the expression of his inner vision, maybe the form of a woman, a child, something like that, an athlete. Of course, there are so many examples of sculpture in Greek antiquity. But there's an inner vision followed by the practical outworking, and the right tools have to be used, and they have to be used with great skill and patience. And so it is with us. God works on us. He blends, he shapes, he positions us, and then he shows us to the world, and the world sees something in us it didn't know was there. Or take one more example, the example of poetry. I've always been particularly interested in poetry. In fact, I have to confess that once upon a time, I actually used to write it. What is poetry? Well, poetry is, in essence, artistry with words. It's the blending together of words to make a picture, an impression, an impact. And every word has to be the right word. Every word has to be in the right place. Every word has to be rightly related to the other words. So when God wants to make us into a poem, each one of us can think of ourselves as either a word or even smaller, just a letter. And to produce the result that God desires, the real poetic image that God has in mind, each letter, each word has to be carefully selected, put in the right position, and rightly related to all the other words. So those are some of the implications of the statement that we are God's poema, his creative masterpiece. Listen to what Paul says in this connection in Ephesians 3, verse 10, an astonishing statement. He says this, God's intent was that now through the church, through God's people, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. That's breathtaking. God chose us, his redeemed people, to demonstrate to the whole universe, to the unseen heavenly realms, his manifold wisdom. Each of us, in some way or other, particularly demonstrates the wisdom of God, but we all blend into a harmonious whole. That's wonderful, isn't it? Let's go back to Ephesians 2:10 for a moment and see something very practical that Paul has to say. What I like about the Bible is its pictures are very beautiful, but they're always very practical too. I believe anything that's truly spiritual is also practical. So what does Paul say about us as God's poema, his masterpiece? Let's read those words again. For we are God's workmanship, God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So that's why we were created, in a practical sense, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That tells me something important. We're not merely to be ornamental. We are to be useful. We are to fulfill a function. God has got things for us to do. We're not just to stand around and be interesting and spiritual. But God has a job of work for each one of us believing people to do. If you had told me a good many years ago that I would ever become a teacher of the Bible, I would have laughed at you. And my friends would have laughed louder still, because there was nothing in me at that time that gave the faintest indication of what God wanted to make out of me. So remember, it's for good works which God has before prepared. We don't have to improvise, we have to find those good works and walk in them. So we are that masterpiece, the revelation of God's creative genius. What's required of us? If I were to sum it up in one word, the word would be yieldedness. If we're a word in the poem, we just take our place. If we're a piece of clay in the potter's hand, we just let him mold us. If we're part of that block of stone, we just let him chip away at us. We don't argue back. We don't say, God, do you really know what you're doing with me? The key is yieldedness.
You know, I want you to think for a moment about what it was like when one of your parents told you something about yourself you didn't know, told you that you had beautiful eyes or some amazing ability. It changed you. It became part of your image of yourself, and it made you better and happier and more fulfilled. Well, that's what happens when God tells us that we are his creative masterpiece, that we are, as it says in another place in the Greek, his poem, his carefully crafted work of art. That's what you are. You don't want to miss the rest of this as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
For most Christians, prayer is, well, prayer. Just one kind, done basically one way. If it were music, it might sound like this. Nice, but what if there were more? What if there were different types of prayer for different needs, seasons, and reasons? With the Holy Spirit orchestrating praying people to bring God's marvelous plans and purposes to pass, it would sound like this. In his eye-opening CD, The Prayer Orchestra, Derek Prince reveals 12 distinct types of prayer and explains how each prayer instrument is designed to accomplish a specific purpose in your life and in his kingdom. Best of all, this classic teaching is free for the asking when you call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Don't settle for a week, one-note prayer life. Order your free CD, God's Prayer Orchestra, and play your part in all God wants to do in you and through you. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely online when you visit us at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. Thanks for joining us here on this last day of January. We're in the middle of a marvelous series called Seven Pictures of God's People. And this really is Derek Prince as an artist painting pictures that God has already painted through the scriptures of who we are and what we're called to be. I want to urge you to take these images, rehearse them, work them into your mind, listen to this teaching over and over again on our website, derekprince.org, and let these images become part of the defining pictures of who you are. Let's listen now as Derek teaches us again about the seven pictures of God's people.
We've been looking by faith into the mirror of God's Word to find out what kind of people we are in God's sight as God's redeemed people. We've not been looking at ourselves primarily as individuals, but rather as God's people collectively. I explained how important it is that we do not underestimate ourselves. The devil is very happy when we do this. On the other hand, God wants us to understand how important we have become as God's redeemed people, and how central we are to the outworking of His purposes in the earth. Each one of our seven pictures of God's people is taken from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. The first three pictures that we looked at last week were, number one, the assembly, the governmental body, number two, the body, the agent of God's actions, and number three, the workmanship, God's creative masterpiece. Today we're going to look at the fourth picture, the family. Now in this list of seven pictures, the fourth is of course central. And I believe that this is appropriate. I believe that in a certain sense, the family is central to all of our understanding of God's people. In the New Testament, Christians are very seldom actually referred to by the title Christians, or even believers. The commonest title used is brothers, and that emphasizes, of course, membership of one family. The emphasis of the New Testament is on that. Let's see now what Paul says in Ephesians 2, 18 through 19. For through him, Jesus, we both, that's Jews and Gentiles in the context, have access to the Father by one Spirit. Notice that all three persons of the Godhead are found together in that one verse. Through him, Jesus, the Son, we have access to the Father by the Spirit. The Son, the Father, the Spirit. And the next verse explains a great important result. Consequently, that's because we have access to the Father, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. The word household would be best represented in contemporary English by family. We're members of God's family. Now the key to this is our relationship to the Father. Because Christ has gained for us access to the Father, therefore we have become members of God's family. See, God's family is determined by relationship to the Father. In New Testament Greek, there's a very close similarity between the words father and family. The word for father is pater. The word for family is patria, directly derived from the word for father. This is brought out by a prayer of Paul in the next chapter of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, where he says this, for this reason I kneel before the Father, that's the Heavenly Father, God the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. You see, there's a direct play on the words, Father Pater, family Patria. So it's from God the Father that his whole family, Patria, in heaven and on earth, derives its name. Family comes from fatherhood. What determines a family is the Father. And because we have God as our Father, we are members of his family. This is further brought out by the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10, 11, and 12. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, that's God the Father, in bringing many sons to glory, the many sons are the believers, to perfect the author of their salvation, that's the Lord Jesus, through sufferings. Let me read that again so you get the meaning. For it was fitting for God the Father, for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons, many believers to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation, Jesus, through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies, that's Jesus, and those who are sanctified, that's the believers, are all from one Father. We have the same Father as Jesus. For which reason he, Jesus, is not ashamed to call them brethren. And then it quotes from the Old Testament, saying, I will proclaim thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing thy praise. That's a very beautiful revelation. Because God, through Jesus, has made us his sons, and because Jesus himself is the Son of God, the Father, the only begotten, therefore Jesus acknowledges us as his brothers. Why? Because of our relationship to the Father.
You know, we understand that when we are born again, we enter into a fresh relationship with God. But Derek is helping us understand that we also have a new kind of relationship with other believers, that we are part of a body, that we are connected. And this is a marvelous truth. It not only means we have relationships, it means that we get to function in our individual giftings in a way that's complementary to how other believers function in theirs. Being part of a body is a marvelous picture of who we are. You aren't going to want to miss what's coming as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
For most Christians, prayer is, well, prayer. Just one kind, done basically one way. If it were music, it might sound like this. Nice, but what if there were more? What if there were different types of prayer for different needs, seasons, and reasons? With the Holy Spirit orchestrating praying people to bring God's marvelous plans and purposes to pass, it would sound like this. In his eye-opening CD, The Prayer Orchestra, Derek Prince reveals 12 distinct types of prayer and explains how each prayer instrument is designed to accomplish a specific purpose in your life and in his kingdom. Best of all, this classic teaching is free for the asking when you call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Don't settle for a week, one-note prayer life. Order your free CD, God's Prayer Orchestra, and play your part in all God wants to do in you and through you. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely online when you visit us at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. Thanks for joining us. We're in a wonderful series called Seven Pictures of God's People. If you've missed any of this, log on to our website at derekprince.org. You'll find not only this teaching, but other teachings that Derek has done and all sorts of information about Derek Prince Ministries. Now, Derek has been teaching us about the relationships that define our lives, the relationship with the Father, the relationship with the Son, and the relationships with the rest of the body of Christ. Let's listen.
You see, Jesus never took the initiative from the Father. He never did anything without the Father leading the way. So Jesus did not call us brothers until the Father called us sons. But once his Father called us sons, then he acknowledged us as his brothers. What then would you say are the main features of this particular revelation? I would say two. First of all, the primary feature, the decisive feature, is a shared life source. The Father is the life source of every family, heavenly or earthly. And when we have one life source, when we all share the same life source, we are members of the same family. We all share the same life. It's not a matter of a denomination or a label or an organization or an institution. None of those things will accomplish it. A family is not a denomination. It's not a label. It's not an organization. In the normal sense, it's not an institution. But a family is a family because it has a shared life source. Secondly, out of that, we have certain vital, basic relationships in two directions, vertical and horizontal. The vertical relationship is the relationship that each of us has to God as Father. The horizontal relationship is the relationship we all have to one another as brothers, as members of the same family. Now, the vertical is primary. It's our relationship to God the Father that gives us the horizontal relationship to one another as brothers. But nevertheless, the horizontal inevitably goes with the vertical. We cannot claim to be God's sons if we do not acknowledge his other sons as our brothers. What are the practical results of this approach to God as our Father? Well, first of all, we know we have acceptance. We're not aliens, we're not strangers, we're part of the family. We don't come as beggars, we come as children. Secondly, we must accept our fellow believers. Just as Jesus accepted us because God called us his sons, we have to accept our fellow believers for the same reason, because God calls them also his sons. Somebody said once, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. God has made that choice for us. We have to accept one another. All right, each time I'm giving a twofold application. First of all, what is the essential feature of the picture? Secondly, what is required of us, particularly in this picture? Well, I think I've said already quite clearly that the essential feature of this picture is a shared life source. God, our Father in heaven, is the life source of his whole family. And we all share a common life. That's what binds us together. Not denomination or doctrine or label, but a shared life source. What's required of us? I think I've explained that too. Let me say it once more. It's mutual acceptance. We have to accept one another as brothers and sisters because God has accepted us.
You know, I imagine many of us, as we listen to this teaching on the body of Christ, especially those of us who have been Christians for a while and been in church and been in the body of Christ, we maybe feel a little convicted. We maybe have forgotten what it means to be connected to God's people in a meaningful and even supernatural way. Maybe we've been in churches where there have been offenses and hurts and disappointments. And, you know, statistics today show us that a huge portion of Christians don't attend church, find church empty or meaningless, or they've been hurt and they're out there floating around. And I think today we ought to just gently re-up, so to speak, for the body of Christ and say, God, this was your will for my life. This was not just some pastor's idea to build a church and draw me into it. This was your purpose, that we're in the body. And of course, the local church is the local expression of the body of Christ. Father, help us, please, to reconnect and be healed so that we can walk fully in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name. Alyssa, we don't want you to miss any of this marvelous teaching. We'll be back here tomorrow with the next in the series of pictures of seven pictures of God's people. Be sure and log on the website at derekprince.org so you can hear this entire series. And don't forget that psychologists tell us that we have to hear a teaching seven times before we've heard every single word. So rehearse the word, rehearse the teachings, rehearse the truths. Well, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a few moments to order your free CD of Derek's insightful audio message, The Prayer Orchestra. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The call and this special CD are both free. It's our way of saying thank you for your support of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.